We have a couple Andys in our church, and most of the time, when you read about Andrew, he's always referred to Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew is one of the most Andrew is one of the most faithful disciples that Christ had, and loyal, faithful, loving, caring, man, my type of guy. But he lived in the shadow of his brother. Andrew, actually, you're going to see that Andrew, in a few minutes, Andrew actually brought his brother to Jesus. But he actually, he lived in the shadow of his brother. But thank God for Andrew, because if it wasn't for Andrew bringing Peter to Jesus, like when you read Acts 1:13, it says they were meeting, and it says Peter, James, and John, then Andrew. 2:14 of Acts, Peter stood up and preached. I mean, it's always, Margaret, it's always Peter. It's always Peter overshadowing Andrew. But I thank God it was, even though Andrew didn't preach on the day of Pentecost, I'm glad it was Andrew that brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Amen? And so, thank God for the Andrews. Now, I want to tell you, when churches and have men and women with the characteristics of Andrew, those churches are blessed. And I want to encourage you to have some. I got three characteristics I want you to see about Andrew, and I'm hoping that you'll have them in your life today. Let's look at a few things that made Andrew so special. Number one, I've got three of them. Andrew was always seeking to be with Jesus. If you look at verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they what? Followed Jesus. Boy, we need to follow Jesus. Look at verse 39. And he said, come and see. And they came and saw, and he dwelt there. Andrew followed Jesus. Andrew came to see Jesus. Andrew abode with Jesus there in verse 39. And I put this down. Praise God for the Andrews in the churches. Praise God for those who seek after Jesus. Praise God for those who follow after Jesus. Praise God for those Andrews that desire to be with Jesus. You know, think with me. Thank God for the Andrews that love coming to church. You ever notice some people you got to beg them and drag them and force them to come. But thank God for the Andrews. They're there right away. They're there early. They can't wait to get to church. They're excited about hearing about Christ. They want to be where the name of Christ is mentioned. I mean, thank God for those kind of Andrews that love being in church. Every time that they're there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, every time the doors are open, Brother Mark, the real Andrews, they're here. They want to be here. They're here because they love Christ and they want to be with him. They want to come. They want to learn more about their Savior. Real Andrews always are there where Jesus is proclaimed. Andrew was always seeking to be with Jesus. By the way, do you seek to be with Christ? Do you seek to be with him? Do you like being in this church? Do you like being with his people? Mark, I like being with the people of God. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. The people of God is more of a my family than my natural family. You'll notice as you get more with the Lord, I love my natural family, my sisters and my brothers. Oh, yes, I love them. But you'll notice as you get more in the Lord, you're actually closer. Annie, I'm probably closer than you and Tommy than I am, my own blood family, because although we're blood in Jesus. But there's a bond. There's a bond that you have with Christians that are born again. And like even Brother Ron, there was a bond with us, right? Because I knew he knew Christ as a Savior. He's my brother in Christ. Amen? Amen. And so, Andrew, number one, always wanted to be with Jesus. Do we follow after Jesus? Do you care? Do you like to be in church? Do you like to hear his word preached? Do you love to hear the word of God? Do you love to hear the songs of Zion? I do. Andrew did too. Number two, Andrew was always looking for others to bring to Jesus. Look at verse 41 and 42 of John 1. He first findeth his own brother. You know, I think that's a great thing after you're saved. even though a person doesn't have any, a prophet doesn't have no respect in his own home, he has no honor in his own home, the greatest thing you can do is go back and tell your family. When you get saved, go back and tell your family, hey, I got saved. I met Jesus. You remember the maniac? The maniac in the tombs, as soon as Christ saved him, he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, go home. Tell thy family what I did for you. We had every one of our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles and our cousins, they ought to know what Jesus did for us. We ought to want for them what Jesus did for us. And sadly, many times Christians don't ever witness to their families. They never pray for their families. And if I can encourage you to do anything, pray for your families. Witness to your families. I know after I got saved, yeah, I went to my families. And after my dad passed away, I was more fervent than I ever was about not wasting time. And I went to every one of my uncles and aunts and cousins and grandmothers and in tears. Went to them and said, you got to be saved. Christ loves you. And I know you can't smother people, but you can reach out in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Well, preacher, they know how bad I'm ornery. You don't know how ornery. Yeah, I know, but God can overlook that. And don't worry, just reach out to them with love. Now, don't push them away, but reach out in love. There's a difference. Amen? And so he went to his brother. Look at that verse. In verse 41, he findeth his own brother. And look at verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. I love that. He findeth. If he found him, he had to be looking for him. And then after he found him, he was looking for him. He found him. And then he brought him. I'll tell you why we. So let's back it up. He was looking. He found. He brought. Do you know why we don't bring many people to Jesus? Because we're never looking, so we never find, so we never bring. Are you still with me? See, this week, I want to challenge you to search for and seek out someone to bring next week for Mother's Day. I'm serious. I want you to try to bring someone to Jesus next week. The reason we don't bring many to Jesus, we're not searching for them. We're really not looking for them. They're there. We're not trying to find someone to bring. Look it. Some of you, we went all week and didn't pray for one person to be here. We didn't ask one person. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Are you with me? Stay with me. I'm amazed. Here's young Kenny got saved. I remember Kenny was sitting here for Easter services. He sat right about where you are, right in that area. Man, he didn't move. And man, I just preached away and the power of God came down. We had a phenomenal Resurrection Sunday. Remember that? Boy, that was powerful. And we knew, Bobby, we both said we knew people were going to be saved. I think we had some saved. We did have people saved. And we knew it wasn't over after that. And then Kenny came the next week. And I think, and Kenny really, I think he responded either got saved either that night or the next day. What day did you get saved, Kenny? The third day, right? And so, yep, 3rd of April. And since he's been saved, then he got baptized. I don't think Kenny has been to a church service without visitors. The day he got baptized, he had two or three men. In this church, and by the way, there's Richard and there's Mike. They're still here. Amen. Matter of fact, I baptized this big guy. You're a big guy. You're as big as a preacher. Actually, we baptized each other, didn't we, Rich? We both went down together. We were scriptural, brother. Pastor Dave was out of town that day, so the old man, the senior pastor, had to do it, but... And look at the fruit. Mike's joined the church, I think, so the week I was gone, and baptized. Kenny, and then Look, today, how many of you got with you today, Ken? 3, 4, 5, 6. There's one over there, too. Hey, what I'm trying to say is this. Do you think these 6 people got here, but then 7, 8? There's 8 people here right now because of Kenny. He just got saved April 3rd. Amen. Amen. Good job, Mike. What I'm saying is this. He got saved, Brother Mike Porter, and he got excited. He got excited about his Savior, and every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he's got somebody here. That's exciting. See, Kenny, you're Andrew. You're Andrew. See, Andrew, 1, he wanted to be with Jesus. 2, he brought people to Jesus. That's what an Andrew does. Andrew wants to be with Jesus. Andrew wants to bring people to Jesus. How many want to be an Andrew? And listen, I'm amazed that when we start to try to go out and find people, we find them. It's how bad we want to bring them. I'll tell you why we don't bring them. We don't go out and search for them. They're there. I guarantee you, these 6 people are here today. They just didn't happen by... Did Kenny or Bob ask you to come? Yeah. Did Kenny or Bob ask you to come? Or Mike, rather? Big fella, who asked you, Mike or Bob? Or Kenny? Kenny. Okay, now, would you have been here if he wouldn't asked you? No, you wouldn't have. Look up here, Bethel. Here's a young new convert, new member of our church. And see, he hasn't been ruined by the world yet. See, he's excited he's a Christian. He's excited he's a child of God. He's excited about his Savior. You know, it's too bad after we're saved for so many years, it wears off. Because when you first got saved, it's great, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell. Hot dog. Man, I kicked the habit. And what I'm saying is, it seems like after a while, it wears off. Tammy sings that song, Bring Back the New. We lose the glow. Somehow, where did it go? We need to bring it back again. And it's so exciting to see a new convert in the church because they bring life to the church. They try to pump us old people up. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to say something to you. Get excited about Jesus. Bring someone to go out and look for him. You got to go out and try to find him. You can't bring people that you don't look for. Hello? Well, I asked a couple people. Hey, Sean, you and I went, me and Jimmy Bunch of us went out. A couple of those guys told us they'd be here. They didn't come. But other ones did. Look up here. Not everybody you ask will come. That's why you got to ask more than one. And you got to keep going back. Amen? I think there's a story with Danny Sabre. Someone just kept going back, and finally Danny said, I'll come. Or one of you guys, one of the old members here said, I'll come. And now they're here all the time over the years. You know what? We got to get excited. Hey, well, preacher, I can't go out and walk. No, but you can get on your phone. Yes, amen. You can pray. You can write letters. Amen. By the way, you can when you go out to the flea markets, tomorrow's Hartville. You can ask somebody there. When you go get gas for your car, you can ask the gas attendant. When you go to the restaurant, you can ask that lady that waits on you. Let me give you a good one for the restaurant lady. Say this to your waitress. It's a good one. I love it. It's my favorite one. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look for you. Will I find you? Will you be there? makes people think. I've reached more people with that line. Dr. Hodge taught me that. I'm going to look for you when I get to heaven. Don Hodge. Will you be there? Well, I don't know. Well, I can show you how you can be there. Amen?
Amen.
The mailman. When you have a mailman, my mailman for the church is a born-again Christian, but I'll run him down, and the mailman run him down and say, hey, I want to give you a letter from heaven, a gospel tract. I want to give you a letter from heaven. Oh? Yeah, it's all the way from Jesus. He wanted me to give it to you. Go ahead and take it. It's express mail. Well, he didn't put no postage because he figured he owned the world, so he didn't need no postage on it. But he did pay the price. It could be that tract deck back there paid in full. Could be any one we have here. There's all kinds of ways to reach people. Every time we're on the elevator, if people get on, I'm in the hospitals every week of my life. Every week of my life, I'm in the hospitals. Praise God, I'm 59. I've never been a patient yet where I had to stay overnight. When I was younger, I'd bust my eyes, bust up my jaw, but I'd stitched up, but I didn't have to stay, you know, as a patient. And it's before I was saved. And the greatest thing, I've reached more people. I can, hey, are you going up or down? They'll say, or what floor? And I say, well, I'm going up. I'm going up when Jesus comes. Which way, up or down? I'll say, are you going down to hell or up to heaven? Whoa! I always try to wear my John 3:16 tie. More people tell me, they buy that, Walmart sells that in Sam's. If I had enough money, I'd buy every guy a tie, and that would be the tie I'd buy for you. John 3, I had more people commend me on that tie. And it says, you know what it means? That tie tells you that Christ loves you and died for you. Have you ever taken his love? Folks, there's a way we can witness to all kinds of people. And we're going to have a May 25th. I'm calling some of these bikers. We're going to have a thing out there in the land. We're going to feed people and honor the vets. We're going to honor our vets on the 25th out there in the land. That's a good way to get our vets out there. Ronnie's a vet, Vietnam vet. God bless our Vietnam vets. God bless all our vets, by the way. Thank God for our vets. But that's a good way to get someone to come to hear. You know, I'll be preaching that night, or one of our boys will be preaching. And I don't know if I'll be preaching or Pastor Dave, but one of us will be. And it's a great way to get people to come. We have a good time of fun, play games. Yet we can share the gospel with them. We got to become all things to all people that we might reach some. Amen? And so, start looking for people. Thank God for the Andrews that seek to be with Jesus. Thank God for the Andrews that find others to bring to Jesus. By the way, can you bring someone to Jesus next week? Think about, right now in your mind, think about someone you could go look for. By the way, if you just start walking down the streets, knock on some doors. Believe it or not, there's people living in these houses. All we got to do is start looking. The reason we're not bringing, we're not looking. See, Andrew went and found his brother. You got to find people. They're out there. We just got to reach out with love and concern and kindness and caring. Psalms 142 verse 4 says, I looked to my left, I looked to my right, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. We got some people, we care for their soul. That's what's wrong with the Christians today. We've become so cold and indifferent. People don't even see Christ in us no more. We're so caught up with all the things of the world. Thank God for Andrews that seek to be with Jesus. Thank God, number two, thank God for the Andrews that find others to bring to Jesus. Number three, and that's lastly too, by the way. Thank God for Andrew's. Andrew was always looking for people and things to bring to Jesus, to bring glory to God's name. Look at John chapter 6, if you would. Three things about Andrew. He loved to be with Jesus. He loved to bring others to Jesus. And he was always looking for people and things to bring to Jesus for his glory, for God's glory. Look at John 6, 5. You know the story, the bread of life, the bread chapter, where they had over 5,000 people. They only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Remember the story? You know the story. I'm not going to read it all. And they said, man, Philip says, 200 pennyworth couldn't feed all these people. You know, and we start thinking about, Emmy, and when we start thinking in man's terms to reach people, we'll never reach it. But if we start thinking in God's ways, God's terms, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Because little is much when God's in it. See, Andrew never overlooked anyone or anything. Everything and everybody was important to Andrew. Notice verse 3, Jesus went up in the mountain. There he sat with his disciples. The Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. Verse 4, now I'm in chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus then lifted his eyes, saw a great company come with him, and he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that we may eat? He said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, Jesus likes to try us. He likes to test our faith. Andrew's got his calculating machine out, and he's trying to, you know, his slide rule. He's trying to figure out the cost of, there's no way you're going to, and you're out in the middle of a desert. You're not going to go down to Wonder Bread Bakery and buy bread. They didn't have it anyways. Or Swables, or whatever, Nickels, or whatever they were running that day. The Jerusalem manna, they didn't have the selling it that day. Are you with me? You know, manna, bread, hello, duh. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, my lands, even if I preached, we got 200 pennyworth of bread, they barely could get a little. One of the disciples, look at verse 8. Who is it? Yeah, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Good old Andrew. He's always on the spot. Eddie's always behind the scenes. But you don't have to be in the limelight. Just get the job done. Andrew's always Mark, ever knows? He's always behind the scenes. He's always making great things happen. He didn't want the glory. God, you get the glory, God. I just want to see the work of God go forward. Andrew said unto him, there's a lad here. I notice there's a little lad here, a little fellow here, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But you know what, God, I think you could use these. Amen? You know, Andrew felt everyone and everything was important. Andrew didn't overlook. Andrew didn't discount. Andrew didn't discard anyone or anything that could be used for God. Many times we have things that could be used for God and we overlook them. Oh, what's 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes to feed all them people? Well, don't you worry. You just give it to God and let God magnify it. You know, God can magnify things. Did you hear me? God can magnify those little things that we have. Let me give you a thought. And I'm almost done. I'm a lot closer than what I was. By the way, last Sunday night, for you that didn't know, I think I only preached for 8 minutes. And those who are here will tell you the truth. I think I did it within 8 minutes. That's a record for me. Brother Dave was preaching tonight, but I think I'm going to be preaching. No, kidding. God can magnify small things. I want to give you one illustration because it's going to go with what I'm going to show you in just a minute. a few weeks ago. You know, we sold all those shoes. The man gave us all those shoes, those old 30, 40-year-old shoes. We put those old shoes on eBay, those Chuck Taylors. And the church made over $13,000. It scared me. People were paying $200 and $300. I'm not lying. I'm not. We got down to the end. We had one old rotten pair. They were ripped and worn and just tattered. I mean, they should have been thrown in the dumpster. But I knew they said Chuck Taylor, and I said, let's try it. Even the size of the one was worn off on the bottom. That's how worn it was. It went for $173. We're out of Chuck Taylors, but if you find any, bring them to me. They got to be the real ones, though, with the patch on the heel, not the new fake ones. But God took these old 40-year-old shoes that a man gave us, sporting goods, and this church made over $13,000 with old shoes that most of us, Marie, would have thrown away. Matter of fact, we might have threw a couple when we first got, because I said, these, no one would buy these. And Freddie said, you better hold on to those, preacher. I think that's what they're going to buy. See, God can do anything. You might have something in your home that you could put on eBay and sell for God. He could magnify it. Because we're going to need to raise some money for our building. And I'm going to preach more on this in a couple weeks. But I'll just give you one more illustration. I'll move on. I bought a little wood radio out of Goodwill, out of Akron, Ohio, Bobby, about 3 weeks ago. It didn't even work. A couple tubes lit up, but it wouldn't even come on. I put some oil on it, made the wood look good. We put it on eBay. It had like a roll top on, a little roll top, just a few inches. And I just played it up real. I got excited about it. I played it up real big. And I wrote, roll top wood radio. Doesn't work, but it looks beautiful. And then I wrote this, Dick. Rich, I said, how many roll top radios do you have? How many roll top radios do your friends have? Because I collected over 30 years. I think I only had one other one. I think I gave that to Joe, and it was a big one. And now I'm going to run Joey down and get it back from him because they're too much money to give away. The day before David Richard put it on the eBay for me, there was one identical just like it. It went for $31 and some change. And Robert, that one worked. I put mine on. I paid $25 for it. So I said, David, I don't want to lose. Put it on there for $39.95. Maybe someone will buy it. I went and preached for Brother Perry that week. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. We were going out to eat after church. David calls me on the cell phone. He's hysterical. Dad! Answer your phone, Dad! This call's important. I'm not trying to get any money out of you. Dad, please call me. I said, hey, Dave, what's going on, buddy? He said, Dad, you're not going to believe your radio. I said, did anybody buy it? Did I get $39? He said, no, Dad. The radio didn't do that good for you. He said, you had two men, one from Indonesia and one from New Jersey, bidding on it. Dad, and I was glad Rosie was driving. He said, Dad, you got $805.95. And the man even paid the shipping, and he's already paid for it. I didn't even send the invoice. The money's already in the bank. looking through my, I'm going through all my radios now, Dick. I'm putting every wood radio I have up for sale. I said that for a purpose. We've got a lot. We're not going to borrow the money. God told me, go out. See, did those 5,000 people get fed? If you read the story, not only did they all get fed, there was 12 baskets left over. And see, many times we have sufficient among us if we'll just use what we have. Because little is much when God is in it. And I got looking around. Just about, I'm down to one, I think I got one more wood radio. I got two big ones, but those are hard to ship. I've got one more wood one in my office that's half size. We're going to definitely put that on in the future. If they're paying that much money, they can have them. $805.90. I stayed awake at night. No! All I can say, and then Stevie called me from Arizona. Hey, preacher! Your radio? I'm with Brother Perry at the time. Hey, preacher, your radio went for $805.95. And I said, Steve, it's good to be alive. Isn't God good? Amen. He'd have been good if it went for $5, by the way. I said that for a reason. I want you to go home. We need to raise a quick $100,000. That's not mad. That's not a lot when you think about it. 100 people finding $1,000 each in their home. If 100 people in the next month could find $1,000 in their home, we could have $100,000 in the bank right like that. For instance, I'm going to give you a thought. God bless Jimmy Delishman. I love you, Jimmy. About 10 years ago, David Richard got me excited about collecting baseballs. And I bought all kinds of baseballs. Now, don't get mad at me. I know I live in Cleveland, Ohio. But I grew up in the northern place, and I grew up loving the New York Yankees. You know I like to win. And the Yankees, when I was a kid, they won every Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, Bill Scourin, Tony Kubek, hello. And what I did, Bobby, I got on a thing, and I bought all kinds of signed baseballs of the old Yankees, and I got a few Cleveland Indians over there, too. See, my son loves the New York Yankees. My grandson loves the New York Yankees. And what I really had planned, to be honest with you, I had planned to leave these. David Williams said he wanted my guns. And David Richards said he'd take all the sporting stuff. And I bought a ton of baseball. I probably got $2,000 or $3,000 at least in stuff. Sports memorabilia, or how you say that, sports stuff. And everything I got, I don't buy cheap stuff. You know, preacher, I'm not a high-class guy, but I like doing things right. When I do it right. So I bought these balls, and I had them put on plaques. I put pictures on them. They're all signed. I got this authenticity. All my balls and all my things, I'm gonna have David Richard put them on eBay in the next few weeks. And I'm going to try to sell all my sporting stuff that I have. And every penny that I get, I'm going to put it in the building fund, rising up for Jesus. Because we're the church on the rise for a risen and returning Savior. I got a bunch of stuff that I bought from, remember the Russian that I was witnessing to, Ogla? I got a whole stuff, I'm going to put that on. You know what, there's a lot of stuff that you got that you don't even use. And I'd rather have a building than these. And my kids won't be around to get these anyways, the rapture's going to happen. And I was going to leave my baseball, New York heritage. You know, I've got the whole team. Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Bill Scourin, Bobby Richardson, second baseman. I got it all. By the way, Bobby Richardson was a born-again Christian, and he led Mickey Mantle to Christ. This was a great right-handed pitcher called Ralph Terry. But I don't know what you've got. And I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you what God told me to do. I got a lot of things in my home that I don't need. Did you hear that Filipino preach Wednesday night? America's so blessed. By the way, if the Fundamental Baptist churches ever go down, there goes the missions. Because I told you a statement before, they don't need our missionaries over in the Philippines. They just need our money. They got the preachers there. What a great message that Edgar Lanigan. As a matter of fact, I booked him for a whole Sunday to come back and preach to us before he leaves to go back to the Philippines. But Andrew always watched for what could be used for God. He loved to be with God. He made sure he looked for people to bring the Lord. And he never overlooked anything that could be used for God. I want you to go home and pray and say, Lord, what do we have that we don't need? Now, I want to say this to you right now. Everybody listen to me. Don't bring me your stuff. You find a way to sell it, put it in an envelope, say building fund. Put it in. I don't want people bring me 1,000 items, say, put this on eBay. I'll have enough to get David to put my stuff on. Hello? But you might have a car, a boat that you don't use no more. I don't know what you might have. But clean your basement out and your garage out. Have a yard sale. Just to see what your garage looks like would be exciting. Maybe you can get your car in there. Clean it out. Have a yard sale. Sell it all. Give it all to God. Not to me. Give it to the Lord. I know this, Bobby. When I was with that man, that mortgage man, and the deacons and them were with me, we were contemplating getting a $1.3 million loan from him, and the Lord said, no! Why are you going to the world? Don't you believe I can supply your need? And here's what he said to me, Annie. Simply use what you have. And so, Di, I'm just going to take what I have and try to use it. By the way, I'm not selling your radio, though. Brother Boggs, I'm not selling your radio. I'm keeping that. That's sentimental. Brother Boggs gave me a... I'm going to keep a couple radios. And I still got it, and I'm not selling it. I always remember you buy it. And I've got it showcased in my basement on the top shelf. It looks sharp. So I don't want... I'll sell the ones that I've got that weren't given to me. But what I want you to do is go home and... What do you got? Maybe you got something. Maybe you don't. But 2 weeks from now, I'm going to put a push for us to start bringing things in. It's going to be called the Rising Up. And by the way, on the 18th, it'll be the 18th when I preach the message. And I'm using my text that day is Nehemiah 2:18. Let us rise up and build. That's a coincidence, isn't it? Well, I'm giving you a little preview this morning. I want to challenge you. By the way, if you don't have it in your heart to do it, then don't do nothing. But you'd be surprised. We got a lot of things here that we really don't need. We could give to God and not hurt your way of living at all. This is not sacrifice. This is abundance. Hello.
We are so blessed. We're spoiled.
Jesus said those people gave out of abundance. The widow gave out of her substance. Hello? I close with these thoughts. Andrew felt everyone and everything was important to God's work. Nothing too big, nothing too small. By the way, we won't turn, but in John chapter 12 and verse 20 and through 22, people came to Philip, and Philip brought him to Andrew, and Andrew went and told Jesus. It's amazing about Andrew. Check it out, John 12, 20 through 22. Now, lastly, here you are. First of all, most important question, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? Have you made Christ your... Rose and I were with a senior citizen couple Thursday night. Poured our heart out to them. They didn't get saved, but they know they got to be saved. She said, I'm listening to your tape. What's good about hell? He said, I've been reading. They're senior citizens. And he said, we're thinking about it. And I said, you got to be saved to get to heaven. Didn't force them. People got to understand. You can't make a false thing. People got to understand they need Christ. Amen? So if you're here today and you've never been saved, if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and that's why Jesus came, so you could go to heaven and not go to hell. Have you come to Jesus? Number two, Christian, who can you bring to Jesus? Who can you bring to Jesus? See, some of you don't even care about who you can bring. Your heart's cold. Your heart's indifferent. You need to be like Andrew. You should be saying, God, you ought to be praying today. God, who can I bring to Jesus? Who can I go look for? Who can I search for? Ask God. He'll show you. Get out of the corner and say, God, the next person that comes, I'll witness to. Send the right person. They're out there. We're just not going. And who can you bring to Jesus and what can you bring to Jesus? Today, Philip would say to all of us, what? $1 million penny worth is not sufficient to build a new church building? Are you with me? And I'd say, and I think Andrew would say, oh, hush up, Philip. We got a little lad here with 5 loaves of bread. And 2 small fishes. By the way, it said small fishes. Did you catch that? Andrew brought things to Jesus, and he let Jesus perform the miracle. We need to start bringing people to Jesus, and we need to start bringing things to Jesus, and just let Jesus perform the miracles. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Help us to be Andrews of the Bible. Churches need a lot of Andrews. Andrews that love to be with you, that love their Savior, that love to be in church, that love to come to all the things about God. Andrews that go out and look and search and bring people to Jesus. Then Andrews that look around, never overlooking anything, no matter how big or how small. Look for things that could be used for the glory of God. Lord, some of us have got some things that we can give that we could use for the glory of God. Might be jewelry. Might be some big article. I don't know. Maybe it's some coins. I don't know what it is, Lord. You've put things in my heart. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will challenge your people. First of all, Lord, I pray they'll be challenged if they're not saved to be saved. That's the most important thing in the whole world, to be saved. And then, Lord, I pray that your Christians would, I think the most second is to bring people to Christ. Father, I just pray we'd get a burden. Every Christian in our church, I pray we'd get a burden to look and to search and to seek out people that we could bring to Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we go through our life and as we look for God to do miracles. I pray that we'll look for even the smallest things, like 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes, that God can do a miracle with. Help us not to be like Philip and say, oh, that's not worth nothing, or that could never do it. Help us not to think with the mind of man. Help us just have the heart of Andrew. God, here's what I've got. If you can use it, Lord, bless it. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're going to get baptized, you come right now. Those are going to get baptized, come right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, those are going to get baptized, come. You're here today and you'd say, preacher, I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Would you pray for me, pastor? Pray that when I die, I know I'd go to heaven. Who would raise that hand? Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise and put it back down. Who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Include me in that prayer. Just hold your hand up. Let me see it. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I will pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. How many say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've not been bringing many people to Jesus lately. And I need to get back looking and bringing people. Pray for me that I could be bringing people. Yes, 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 yes. All over the building. By the way, my hand's up with you. Yes, God bless you. We need to be looking to bring people this week, this coming week, for Mother's Day. And then lastly, maybe you're here today and you just would say, preacher, I don't know right now, but I promise God I'll look for even the smallest things that God could use for His glory. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Yes, yes. Even the smallest things. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I believe I preached everything you told me to, Father. I pray you'll honor and bless all that we do for you. Oh, God, I just pray that if there's any here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, please let them see that if they die, they'll die without Christ. They'll go out in eternity forever separated from God. Heaven's so real. Hell's so real. You love them so much that you came and suffered and died for them and for me and for all the world. It's sad when people don't take the Savior that came for them. He's a gift, a free gift. Wages sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commends His love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Help us to see that truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Mark?